Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the show. This is a podcast about the strange and unusual, the secret and conspiracies, the fringe and the supernatural. This is a show where we do little to no research on our topics. We are not professionals in any field except speculation. This is the Secret Transmission Podcast, and today we're going to be talking about the John F. Kennedy assassination. I am your host, Toby. Alongside me is the crew. Introduce yourself, crew.
I'm Rudy.
Kristen.
Tyler.
So guys, today we're going to be talking about John F. Kennedy.
Yay!
And the many plethora of theories.
Don't be stealing my words.
You did say that earlier, didn't you? Yeah. I was wondering why that was so fresh on my head to use.
What is a plethora?
That's my next question. I was like, what's a plethora, Toby?
It's a bunch.
An abundance.
Whatever.
A shitload.
Yeah. So.
Bunch.
Gotta dial it down.
Texan.
That's right.
It's a bunch. You want a plethora of watermelon over there?
So, let me tell you the story of what happened to Mr. Kennedy. On November 22nd, 1963, President John F. Kennedy made a small speech that morning in front of a Texas hotel in Fort Worth that he had recently spent the night at. Okay? And it was raining. He made this speech in the rain. It wasn't like a real heavy rain. It was like a sprinkle.
We know.
Yeah. It's Texas rain because, you know, raining in the morning and then it was sunny when he got shot. So.
Well,
it happens.
He made jokes about Mrs. Kennedy taking longer to get ready. He went on to talk about the nation's need for being second to none in defense and space. Kennedy was basically on an unofficial run for his second term as president. He hadn't announced it, but that's pretty much what he was doing. He had just came from Florida. He was making the runs around the states. He felt that Florida and Texas were two states that he needed the votes from the most, so he was kind of showing the most love and favoritism towards those two. That's why he was hitting those first.
That's funny, since we watched The Purge last night, and that's what they said. If you get Florida's votes, you win.
Is that what they said in the Purge election year?
Yeah, I guess so. It's weird.
Florida's a big swing state.
Florida's always a big swing state. Texas, not so much, but Florida's always a swing state.
Because Texas doesn't care. We're going to make our own rules.
Pretty much.
Texas is going to be Republican regardless.
Texas don't give a fuck.
We'll just... Boom.
Pretty much.
We control ourselves now. Thanks.
That's right.
Break ourselves off with little pickaxes.
Right.
So after breakfast that morning, he took a 13-minute flight to Dallas Love Field. When he landed, they immediately walked up to the fence and started shaking all the hands of all the people that were surrounding. The first lady even received a bouquet of red roses that she took in the limousine with her.
That's where they hid the gun.
Yeah, she didn't know it meant death.
She hid the gun in the roses. Boom. Mystery solved. All right, let's go on to the
next show. Classic mafia move.
We got it in 3 minutes. All right, let's go on to the next show.
So, joined with the Kennedys in the seat in front of them in the six-seated limousine.
We'll talk about that later.
So, joined in front of them was Governor John Connally and his wife, Neely. Uh-huh. When they left the airport, they traveled down a 10-mile route that would go through downtown Dallas to the Trademark, where the president was scheduled to speak at a luncheon. The limo turned off Main Street to Daly Plaza around 12:30 p.m. While it was passing the Texas School Depository, gunshots were fired. The bullets hit the president in the neck and in the head. He went limp towards Mrs. Kennedy. The car sped off to try to make it to Parkland Memorial Hospital that was just a few minutes away. Doctors couldn't do anything for him. A Catholic priest gave the last rites to Kennedy. And at 1 p.m., John F. Kennedy was pronounced dead. The president's body was brought to Love Field and placed on Air Force One. Lyndon B. Johnson took the oath of office at 2:38 p.m. Within the hour, the police arrested Lee Harvey Oswald, who was in a theater. On November 24th, Oswald was scheduled to be transferred from the police station to the county jail on live television. A man who came out of nowhere walking his dogs aimed a pistol and fired point blank at Oswald. This man's name was Jack Ruby, a local nightclub owner. Oswald died 2 hours later at Parkland Hospital. On November 25th, 1963, President Kennedy was laid to rest in Arlington National Cemetery.
Who's President Kennedy?
Who's President Kennedy?
Did I say Kennedy? Fuck. I did so good through all that. And did I really say Kennedy?
Yeah, toward the end there. Don't worry about it. Chris, were you thinking what I was thinking about the dogs?
Yeah, they were... Every scene that's ever been showed or every picture that's ever been showed, it's always like... Looks like they're in an underground parking garage.
Right.
There's never been any dogs.
There was never a guy walking a dog.
Two dogs.
Jack Ruby has never walked a dog.
Why the fuck was he underneath the freaking car garage walking
his
dogs?
At a police station walking his dogs.
Okay, but that's where it comes into play
later. And then
later.
Not only... okay, so there better be something about, you know, like... Who took custody of his dogs, or, you know, because his dogs, if they were, you know, he's a killer in his own, so they gotta be mean, so they would have latched onto somebody. Somebody would eventually surface saying, I was bit by a dog.
See, I don't even care about the dogs. I've just never seen dogs in any original footage. Did
Neither.
He just kind of like, was he walking?
Tie him up
was he,
and
quote,
was
unquote,
like, hey, I'll be back, guys.
To
I'm going to go
get,
kill this
get
guy.
Close, or?
Yes, it was more, I think, well, I mean, this is where conspiracy stuff gets into play, but it was, supposedly, he was just out walking his dogs when he saw that Oswald was being moved, and so, he got the sudden urge to go shoot him.
So there may not even be dogs, he just said he was walking dogs.
When he
Maybe.
Got the urge to go...
Go and kill another
go
human
and
being.
Kill.
Right.
Okay.
Okay,
so...
Because so many times when I'm walking,
I was like
an animal, do I want to shoot somebody for no reason?
So did he end up going to jail?
Yes, yes.
Actually,
okay. He did go to jail. Jack Ruby.
I thought he'd be like American Hero or something.
Well, maybe. Maybe not.
I come to think of it, I don't really remember hearing about what happens after he shoots him.
He went to jail and ended up dying in jail, I believe.
Oh,
yeah,
because okay.
killing somebody's not good.
Good observation.
Well, in Texas, we believe in the death penalty. I mean, that guy shot another guy,
right.
So he's
in
trying to get
of
done early.
A shitload of witnesses, so, all right.
You don't go off and kill somebody. But we're really quick to punish people even if they haven't really done the crime. Hate to say that, I'm from Texas, but we are. A lot
okay.
of times whenever they find, or they think that they have a name for who murdered, they're quick to be like, okay, case closed, let's kill them, let's go.
Sometimes, not all the time.
So, let's talk about the Zapruder film. The most famous...
We'll have words later, anyway.
The most famous part of this case, the Zapruder film... I mean, I say the most famous because, you know, most famous part,
used.
Yes. There's a bunch of films that I found out. I didn't realize that there's so many different films, but none of them are as clear or as... I mean, the Zapruder film is the perfect view of everything.
Yeah, we watched that one off... What was it, Netflix or Hulu?
Which one's that?
11-something-63.
Oh, that TV show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good show.
It's a good show. Not necessarily down to... I just don't see someone...
They didn't really...
It down to a T off of Oswald's side.
That show really, like, wasn't exploring any kind of conspiracies. It was more or less time
travel.
It was almost...
Yeah,
it was Stephen King, right? And J.J. Abrams?
Yeah.
And then on the Oswald side, I think it's more or less of a... This is what I think would happen.
Right. It was
happened.
All, to me, it felt like a lot of conjecture or speculation on what happened on Oswald's side. With some smattering of facts, you know, like him defecting to Russia and all that stuff. You know, that stuff actually did happen. Came back with a wife and kid.
So, the Zapruder film is a silent but in color film taken by Abraham Zapruder with a high end model 414 PD Bell. And how Zoomatic Director Series Camera Home Movie Camera. That is what the camera is.
Huh.
He filmed from the time the presidential limousine turned onto Elm Street for a total of 26.6 seconds, exposing 486 frames of standard 8mm Kodachrome II safety film. running at 18.3 frames per second. I'm putting all the details in there just for any film buff out there that might know what all that means. So he made 3 copies of the film and gave 2 of them to the Secret Service for the official investigation. On November 23rd, CBS lost a bidding war for the footage to Life magazine for $150,000.
Damn. Back in the 60s?
Which, yeah. Shall I be sad to know that Elm Street is nothing but tattoo shops. I actually have a tattoo from there in Dallas.
On November 29th, 1963, Life published an issue with their normal logo being in red. They printed it in black. And they also published about 30 frames of the film in black and white. They also published in-color pictures in the December 6th, 1963 special, John F. Kennedy Memorial Edition. And again, they used the pictures on October 2nd, 1964, November 25th, 1966, and November 24th, 1967. So they got their money's worth out of it, I believe.
Right.
So, the breakdown of the film. Around frame 160 is likely when the first shot was fired, the one that missed. Governor Connolly was looking at to his left. You can see him quickly looking to his right for where the shot came from. By frame 167, he is looking to his right. And this is important because to the right of him is the grassy knoll.
Right.
Which you'll hear the grassy knoll be brought up a lot here soon. By frame 203, the Stemmons Freeway sign is blocking the view. So, like, there's a second where you can't see anything because of that damn sign. By frame 222, you can see the governor again. Frame 223, because the governor got hit from the bullet that went through Kennedy's throat. The single bullet theory. Isn't that what it is?
Which the governor was in front of him, so that means that it was hit from behind.
I think it hit him in the shoulder, didn't it?
It went...
Then it would have to be hit from behind because they were in the back.
It went through and it hit into his thigh. Like,
it would have been hit up as it's a trajectory.
Right. So
that
would have been behind him from
up high.
Right.
Right. So but at frame 223 he doesn't appear to be
maybe.
Hit. Yeah. He doesn't appear to be hit yet. Like, he looks normal. His jacket looks normal. On frame 224, the next frame, you can see his jacket's in a different position. It looks kind of like something has gone through and pulled the jacket forward. By frame 225, the president reaches for his throat, and also the governor is starting to react to his chest, too. Like, he's starting to kind of move around, too. So at this very exact same time, frame 230, the president has his hands and his elbows raised as he grabs his throat. Like, he's panicking. You know, his elbows are up high. He's holding his throat. He starts to slump over towards the first lady. By frame 314, the president is then shot in the head. And that's the frame that
you
see. It looks like the right side of his face explodes.
It's gone.
You're shot twice.
Yes. Yeah. Through the throat and then in the head.
In the head.
So here's some of the weird facts that I found. Okay. Oswald's gun was found behind some boxes on the 6th floor of the Texas School Book Depository. President Kennedy's body was illegally moved from Parkland Memorial Hospital to how do you say the fucking Fallout Company?
Bethesda.
So he was moved from Parkland Memorial Hospital to Bethesda Naval Hospital. Ooh. By the Secret Service agents. And Dr. Malcolm Perry and other doctors have said the bullet wound appears to have come from the front, not the back. That's a big thing. A bunch of the doctors think that it looks like someone even tried to
so
make...
So there's 2 shots.
Yes, there's 2 shots. One through the throat.
I'm saying 2 different shots. One from one side and one from
right.
the other.
But yeah,
that's
like he was double teamed.
A second
right.
gunman.
Right.
You'll hear that a lot, the second gunman. Oswald's gun was I know nothing about guns, so forgive me. Was a 6.5 millimeter Carcano Some say it was very inaccurate, and the shooter would have had to reposition after every shot due to the massive recoil. Oswald was only qualified as a marksman, or in other words, he wasn't a very good shot. If he would have been a good shot, he would have been drafted to the 303rd Infantry?
Uh-huh.
I don't know, Army, military stuff either.
Sounds good.
But instead, he was a radar technician learning Russian. Remember, this is important too. There were 3 shots in 6.3 seconds. There's not many experts that can even do that shot. Like, the first shot was missed. That's fine. Second shot went through the throat, and the third shot was steady enough to hit him.
Yeah, but what if there was 3 shooters?
One another possibility.
To throw the guard off,
right.
One to hit through the throat, and the other one. The more shooters you have, the more harder it is to pinpoint, but one to be the...
There's all kinds of crazy theories. You're going
to
see... People think that... Spoiler alert, there's one guy that thinks there was up to 11 shots. Yeah.
They count echoes or what?
I don't know.
There was a lot of bad shots that day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Severe recoil in 6.3 seconds?
6.3.
Son of a bitch.
So, supposedly 10 police cars and a media crew showed up at the theater to arrest Oswald, and supposedly they didn't know it was Oswald that had run into the theater. The original call to the police was from the ticket guy who says, he was calling the cops saying, a man ran in here without paying, not, hey, I got Oswald. You know, he's running the ticket booth. He really probably doesn't even know what's going on, because within the hour, back then, no cell phones. He didn't really...
It's not like social media where you learn about a shooting within minutes of it actually
right.
happening.
So, this ticket guy wouldn't have been looking out. So that's a weird thing, if that's true. I couldn't really find much to cross-reference the 10 cars and media being there. Oswald was interrogated for almost 12 hours with no lawyer present, even though he asked repeatedly for legal assistance. Not one conversation was recorded, and the notes that were taken were destroyed.
What if he was the first shot that never even... I mean, just saying if there was 3 shots. What if he was the first shot that was never hit? And
it's still an attempt.
Yeah, but... What if they're like, oh, well, blah, blah, we'll need this from you. And I mean, what if he was like... I guess almost like brainwashed by the government almost to where he could do it. Like, they're like, you just stand here. You're a decal. You do fire off a shot just...
Well, it's always been
randomly.
A popular theory. That...
And then they have a gun that just happens to be registered to him to do the rest of the shooting.
That he was a patsy. That they...
Right.
He's
no,
always...
no, no. I've always known that he was
right.
a patsy. But what if he... You know, a lot of people think maybe he's behind the book shooting. What if he never was even behind the book shooting? What if he was just merely just a
Wait.
Shot in the fucking sky?
You'll see. You're going to hear a bunch of crazy things. Here's some more...
It's like the years go on this investigation, and
yeah.
the nuttier it gets. I mean, it just gets weirder and weirder with every decade that goes by on it.
Here's something that's interesting. The forensics didn't even get a chance to look at the limo. By Monday, just 3 days after Kennedy was shot, the car was already in Detroit being refurbished. They didn't even get to really do a full investigation and check out the car.
Yeah, I knew that.
Vice President set him up and was like, I need that car fixed.
See, that's already another theory. Like, you can't say anything without hitting a theory with this. Supposedly, on the street Kennedy was killed on, you have to make a 120-degree turn. The standard Secret Service motorcade protocol is no more than a 90-degree turn.
Yeah, that's what I was heard, that they went out of protocol on which way they were supposed to take.
People at Daily Plaza that day heard the shots come from the front and right of the president. This is where the back and to the left theory comes from the famous Oliver Stone JFK movie. That's why, because in the footage you can see him, his head goes back and to the left.
Right. Like he gets struck from the right side.
Yeah, but that would mean that he got hit in the head first, then in the neck.
From the front.
Yeah, but when you read earlier, you said he got hit in the neck and then
right.
in the head.
Right.
Yes.
Because if you look at the film, that's what happens. He gets hit in the neck, he starts grabbing things, and then his whole right side of his face explodes.
So,
and he back.
But the first bullet went through his back and out his neck and then hit the governor that was sitting in front of him. Mm-hmm. It hit him in the chest and went through his chest. And some reports I saw, it said that it grazed his hand and then into his thigh.
Kind of like a ricochet.
Yeah, so it went through Kennedy's back, through his throat, then through the governor sitting in front of him, grazed his hand, hit his thigh.
Right.
And
which bullets can do if trajectories change, you know, density of mass, all that good stuff.
And a lot of people say that, oh, it's a magic bullet because there's no way it would have been able to curve and do all that.
No, it could have. Yeah.
But if you look at how the seats are arranged, and I can't really describe this well on the podcast, but
it was slightly to the right.
To the left.
To the left.
The governor's chair was slightly to the left and lower, like a step lower. So it lines up if you do it that way. If you try to just put the seats completely the same height and everything, it does need to, you need the magic bullet to curve. And
wasn't there a group that actually did forensics on, based on the film? They did like a 3D modeling.
Yeah. And
they were able to show, based on the car and all that stuff, yeah, this is theoretically possible.
Yes.
For this bullet to do it just like it did it.
Right.
Because of forensics. They actually did forensics on it. It's like...
They're the Mythbusters.
So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's not a magic bullet. It was just the way it bounced and ricocheted from one person to the next.
Well, let's talk about the official report now. Okay? The official report, which most of the time is unofficially... The unofficial title that us conspiracy theorists like to call it is the Warren Commission.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is a 888-page report that was given to President Johnson on September 24th, 1964, and made public 3 days later. The popular name from this report came from Chief Justice Earl Warren. The report, in short, stated that Oswald assassinated Kennedy entirely on his own. It also said that Jack Ruby also acted on his own when he killed Oswald. So,
oh, shit.
So no conspiracy, straightforward. That's the Warren Commission report.
Yeah, because the government can be trusted so much
with their reports, with
everything.
So, I say we take a small break.
Did you read all 888 pages?
No.
What the fuck you calling yourself a conspiracy theorist?
There's no way I'm going to read that sack of lying shit.
That lying report.
I wouldn't.
Probably 2 pages of truth in the whole thing.
Right.
But the beginning and the conclusion.
So we're going to take a break. And what we're going to do when we come back is talk a little bit about Lee Harvey Oswald and Jack Ruby.
Yay.
Get a little background on both of those fellers. All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Nock from the Geek Yogurt Podcast. Tune in every week as we discuss movies, TV, comics, and video games. We are on Podbean, iTunes, Satchel, or on your favorite podcast app. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter at Yogurt Podcast and weigh in on our weekly topics.
So he says, that's how you get Inside Out, Wiener.
Oh, sorry. Didn't see you there. We were just talking about our new favorite podcast, the Careless Deviation Podcast.
Oh, yes! Those boys are the best!
The show feels like you're just sitting on a porch with an old friend. Kim Kardashian says it's like a cold drink of tea on a warm summer day.
Oh, and they are! See, I was gonna end it all, and these boys saved my life! I came home drunk one day, lit a cigarette, fell asleep, burned the whole house down! Lost the kids and the wife. They brought me back from the edge, they did.
We've all been there. Tom here slept with my wife while I was out of town. When I found out, I went to his house to kittle him. When I showed up, he was listening to Careless Deviation. Well, needless to say, I dumped that fat whore and Tom and I became the best of friends.
Now we're like two peas in a pod.
Podcast, that is. You can find them on Stitcher and iTunes.
Don't forget their website, carelessdeviationpod.com.
Oh, and make sure you follow them on Twitter, @deviationpod. And they will be on YouTube soon, so keep an eye out for that. New episodes every Wednesday.
Careless Deviation, your new old friend.
Greetings, heathens and harlots. My name is J.D. Blute, and I am one half of your World Intergender Tag Team Champions of the World. Along with my wife, Crises, we are the Crises vs. Blute Show. We are a comedy podcast that focuses on wrestling horror and some amusing personal anecdotes. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play Music, or wherever you get your podcast from. Please check us out.
We are back. And now we're going to talk about Lee Harvey Oswald. Some of the quick little facts that I could find about him. Because there's a lot on all of these people, characters. So he was born October 18th, 1939 in New Orleans, Louisiana. His father died only 2 months later, and Lee and his two older brothers were sent to an orphanage. Oswald said his interest in communism began at the age of 15 when he was handed a pamphlet about saving Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, an American couple found guilty of passing nuclear secrets to the Soviet Union. He was a U.S. Martian? Fuck, I couldn't even stop it. It was coming out of my mouth and I was like, oh!
Marvin the Martian.
He was Marvin the Martian. Fuck, I've been doing so good reading tonight. And then I had to call him Marina Martian.
Have you, though?
We just haven't been picking on you as much as we normally do.
No shit. He was a U.S. Marine. And later defected to the Soviet Union. God damn it.
One sentence. It's one.
Get it together.
Damn the sentence. 15 minutes on one sentence.
You know what?
Break.
He did, yeah.
Just go back on break. Just call it.
He defected to the Soviet Union for a period of time, mother truckers. Okay. So, he attempted suicide due to being turned down for a Soviet citizenship. Oswald had an alias, Alec J. Hiddle. Apparently, that's also the name that he bought the gun as. So, when they trace it back... Hiddle? H-I-D-E-L-L. 7 months before assassinating JFK, Oswald is believed to have made an unsuccessful attempt at killing military general Edwin Walker? Fuck.
Yeah.
Who was sitting in his home office when a bullet was fired through his window, narrowly missed his head. They linked the bullet used here in this case as the same bullet or same ammunition that was used in the Kennedy case. So that's why they linked these together. Oswald had a tense relationship with his Russian-born wife, Marina, although he appeared to make peace with her the night before the shooting. The next morning, he left his wedding ring on his wife's bedside before heading off to the book depository. On October 2013, Marina Oswald sold the ring at an auction for $90,000.
Cheap bitch.
She kept it till 2013, that's 50-some-odd years later. She did good.
That thing should have been worth more.
I was going to say, she went out kind of cheap on that.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I think.
The wedding ring of Lee Harvey Oswald? Holy shit. She could have gotten a couple million at least if she'd have held out.
I would have got a few houses.
That's right.
A co-worker of Oswald's, Wesley Frazier, says that he gave him a ride and Oswald had a package of what he was claiming to be curtain rods, and most people believe that this was actually his gun. Charles Givens, another co-worker, he testified that that he saw Oswald on the sixth floor before the shooting, but didn't see him again until after. Givens said that the encounter took place at 11:30 a.m., and that he later saw Oswald reading a newspaper in the first floor break room at 11:50 a.m. William Shelley, a foreman at the depository, also testified that he saw Oswald making a phone call on the first floor between 11:45 and 11:50 a.m. A janitor, Eddie Piper, also testified that he spoke to Oswald on the first floor at 12 p.m. Bonnie Ray Williams was on the sixth floor of the depository eating lunch, and he was there until at least 12:10 p.m., and he claims that he did not see Oswald or anyone else and thought that he was the only person there. However, he also said that that some of the boxes in the southeast corner may have prevented him from seeing the sniper's nest that was set up. Oswald left the book depository, got on a city bus, got off two blocks later, took a taxi cab home, went in and put a jacket on, left, and around 1:15, a Dallas patrolman, J.D. Tippett, drove up alongside Oswald. They exchanged some words, I think. Oswald looked like the man that they were looking for. And when Tippett got out of his car, Oswald supposedly shot him four times, killing him. And people claimed to have seen Oswald fleeing the scene while holding a revolver.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He was told to leave his wedding ring. So therefore, he could have left his wedding ring because they told him to. They could have told him a rendezvous place, the government. They could have told him a rendezvous place, which was the movie theater, so he would have ran to the movie theater, which they could have obviously paid off the front person to call and said he was there so that he was caught.
Yeah, I mean...
What I want to know is how did they get him as a person of interest?
Because of all those...
towards America.
All those testimonies. Like, some people say they saw him up there, they found the rifle up there. That's why I read all the different testimonies, because not all of them match up. Some people say they saw him in the break room. Some people say they were up in the sixth floor. So there's all kinds of crazy testimonies already.
Right.
But how many people back then were paid off?
This would explain why there were death. This would explain why there were 10 cop cars at the movie theater if they saw him there. Because he had just killed a cop.
Yeah. If it
right.
Was
but
a
how did they know that he was in the theater?
That's a good point too. Other than a sting.
There's got to be a sting.
Unless the guy, ticket guy was like, well, this is what he looks like, this is what he's dressed as, and they're like, oh shit,
that's him back up. He already knew what he was going to be dressed as, and they
but he put on a jacket. He was wearing something
yeah,
different.
Yeah, he went home and changed, so.
That could have been part of the plan, too.
I don't know. So, when he was arrested in the theater, he is quoted as saying, well, it is all over now. So, kind of admitting, if that's really
or
what he said.
Going, or, hey, guess what? I was the patsy.
Yep, I was the patsy. You got,
and
you guys,
I got fucked.
Yep.
It's all over now.
It's kind of how I would have taken it.
One officer, Nick McDonald, claims that Oswald pulled the gun on him and even tried to pull the trigger, and this is all in the movie theater, but the webbing between his finger and his thumb stopped the hammer from the on the pistol from hitting. Because, you know, it was like a revolver.
Oh, and it got caught in the...
webbing.
Yeah, ooh. Oh, that shit hurts.
On the Monday morning of November 24th, 1963, both the FBI and the sheriff's office received calls from an unidentified man warning that Oswald was being targeted for an assassination. Supposedly. I don't know. When he was arrested in the theater, it was showing the movie War is Hell. Not important, just thought it was a fun fact. As fun as assassination facts can be.
Right. I'd have to look that movie up to see if it has any relevance.
President of the Dallas Bar Association met with him in his cell on Saturday. He declined their services, saying he wanted to be represented by John Abbott, Chief Counsel of the Communist Party USA, or by lawyers associated with the American Civil Liberties Union. So he was given opportunity to have a lawyer of some sort, but he wanted someone that was
sympathetic to his
right, yeah,
his plight.
Which, you know what? That's probably pretty smart, mm-hmm. considering. There's these backyard photos, mm-hmm. Taken by Marina, his wife, probably around March 31st, 1963, using a camera belonging to Oswald. It shows him holding two Marxist newspapers, the Militant and the Worker, and he's also holding a rifle and wearing a pistol in a holster. Some people believe that this is a old-school Photoshopped, however they would have faked the picture way back then, but his wife, Marina, said she took the picture herself. So,
and that is legit?
Yeah, so like he's holding two like communist newspapers. He's got the rifle that he shoots the president with. He's got the revolver that he shot the cop with. It's all right there.
And he's got the paycheck to go with it.
So that's why a lot of people say it's faked, because it's like, why would you give all that up? Why would you do that? Why would you just...
He's probably promised immunity and never received it. Like, it was just a fake fucking hoax. Because you gotta think, he was promised immunity... Yet, therefore, he was kept in custody and probably was promised that he was going to get out of it. Little did he know, they already had a killer to shoot him.
To shut him up?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of...
in that.
Speaking of that killer, good segue, let's talk about Jack Ruby.
Wasn't he a business club owner?
Yes, he was. And I'll get more to that when I find that in my notes.
Wasn't he part of the mob?
Possibly. I've got all my facts are kind of out of order on him because I was trying to find as much as I could about him.
We have no facts.
I know they're it's not they're quote facts.
Speculation.
Apparently, Jack Ruby was given a lie detector test by the Warren Commission, which indicated that he had acted alone in murdering Lee Harvey Oswald.
Bullshit. Sorry.
Oh, you okay?
I'm allergic to shit.
To bullshit. However, since Ruby was diagnosed as a psychotic depressive, the commission said the polygraph uh-huh. results were not significant. So, because he's a psychopath, they didn't use his testimony, or what would it be?
Polygraph results.
There was
that worked out perfectly.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm thinking. This dude's a psycho, so we can't take his word for it.
Okay. There was evidence given to the Warren Commission to say that Jack Ruby had been involved in a typical underworld activities of gambling, narcotics, and prostitution. So there's your...
Sounds like a Saturday night to me.
Ruby died of... How say that word for me. I'm not going to pronounce it right.
Pulmonary embolism.
On January 3rd, 1967, at the same hospital where Oswald died and where President Kennedy had been pronounced dead.
What hospital was this? Was this Baylor?
No, I said it earlier. I'll find it in a minute.
Sounds like some hospital staffers might have been on this shit, too.
The commission reported that he was attending to his duties as the proprietor of the Carousel Club located on Commerce Street in downtown Dallas and the Vegas Club in the city's Oak Lawn District from the afternoon of November 21st to the early hours of November 22nd. I started writing down like what he was, his specific things he was doing, quote, what he was doing, because I felt like it gave a timeline. On November 22nd, he was at the Dallas Morning News placing ads in the paper when he heard about the assassination. Apparently, he also made phone calls to other people asking, like, should we close down the clubs for the weekend? You know, after the president got shot, do you think anyone's going to be partying? So he was... That's supposedly how the story goes. So... But a lot of the... reports, like in the Warren Commission, they really weren't sure what actually happened, if he was at the Dallas paper or what he was doing. Ruby was seen in the halls of the Dallas Police department?
Headquarters?
Yeah, I didn't know if I wanted to say headquarters.
That's fine.
In the Dallas Police Headquarters, on several occasions after Lee Harvey Oswald's arrest, newsreel footage from WFAA TV Dallas and NBC show that Ruby impersonated a newspaper reporter during a press conference at Dallas Police Headquarters on the night of Kennedy's death. Mm-hmm. That's a weird fact.
See, I thought he did the same thing to get into close to Lee Harvey Oswald whenever they were transporting him, because there were a shitload of people standing around.
No.
Like reporters and stuff.
So, later in the day, after driving into town with his two pet dogs and sending an emergency money order to one of his employees, Ruby walked to the nearby police headquarters, where he made his way to the basement. I don't know why. I guess that's in that parking garage.
Right. Right.
While authorities were escorting Oswald through the police basement to an armored car that was to take him to the nearby county jail, Ruby stepped out from the crowd of reporters and fired his .38 revolver into Oswald's abdomen, fatally wounding him. Ruby was immediately subdued by the agents and police as he reportedly yelled, "You killed the president, you rat." The shooting was broadcast live nationally, and millions of television viewers witnessed it. He told several witnesses that he had helped the city of Dallas redeem itself in the eyes of the public, and that Oswald's death would spare Miss Kennedy the discomfort of coming back to trial.
Just the city of Dallas?
Well, you know,
he was the president of the United States.
I mean, probably bringing, I mean, if that's really why he did it, yeah, I could see that, you know.
It's a nice cover story.
That's an intricate sure. motherfucker for one
yeah.
one little city.
One little guy.
And also the other reason of Miss Kennedy was, you know, so she wouldn't have to come back and be at the trial for Oswald. But let's take another small break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the juicy part
Ooh,
of all this.
The tidbits.
The conspiracies.
Yeah. And there's about 10,000 of them according to your list here.
Yeah.
Holy shiitake, man.
We will be right back.
Hey there, fellow podcast fans. Do you love comic books and especially Swamp Thing? Get out of the bayou. So do we. Come check out the Parlapod Show, the world's only podcast dedicated to the muck-encrusted mockery of a man himself, Swamp Thing. This is some serious arcane audio. We also have a sister show, Splurch, where we dive into the world of comics and all the crazy aspects of life. Give us a listen at Parlapod.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, our YouTube channel, visit our site, Parlapod.com, and consider supporting our Patreon for some really cool rewards and exclusive content. Check us out on PodcastRadioNetwork.net every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Join the conversation on Twitter by following at Parlapod. We'll see you in the swamps.
In the swamps.
In the swamps. In the swamps.
All right, so what should we do for this ad, Michael?
Okay, Michael, let me paint you a picture. It's a cold November morning over Lake Travis. Picture you with a Speedo and nothing else.
Mm.
A Texas
oh,
flag Speedo.
I like it.
Then imagine out of the woods comes a giant monster truck with a Texas flag sticking out of the back.
Cool.
All right. The truck skids to a stop. I roll down the window and I say, "Get in." Then you say, "Come and take it."
I'm not sure we can afford that for the ad. Maybe we should just say we're the TX Files and we cover weird and scary history from Texas and you should give us a listen.
I mean, if you want to half-ass it.
All right, well, don't forget that you can find us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at TX_files. Thanks, y'all.
Peace.
And don't steal my line. We are back. So, like I said, we're going to talk about the conspiracy part of all this. And the first conspiracy I've brought up is Joseph Adams Milter is behind it.
Who the hell is Joseph Adams Milter? I've never heard this name before.
Donald A. Adams is a former FBI special agent who is retired. He claims the Warren Commission is nothing but a bunch of liars.
Finally, something we can agree on.
He has done some research on his own and found these things out. A man named William Somerset said that Joseph Adams Miltrie was threatening JFK. Miltrie was reported as one of the most violent men in the country, a militant activist with ties to hate groups like the KKK. He apparently would talk about assassinating President Kennedy. One threat was even captured on tape by Miami intelligence officers on November 9th, 1963. So here is a clip of William Somerset talking to Joseph Adams Miltrie.
I don't know, Kennedy's coming here, I think on the 18th or something like that, to make some kind of speech. I think it's the 18th he's supposed to be here to make a speech. And I don't want to know what it's about.
If you can bet your mind now, you're going to have a lot to say about the Cubans, because there's so many of them here.
A lot of them Cubans.
Yeah, more bodyguards than it's more easy to get in.
Huh?
More bodyguards than it's more easy it is to get in.
Why the hell do you figure the best way would be to get in?
From an office building. With a high market price.
You think he knows his apartment? They're going to really try to kill him. Get this Kennedy. I'll tell you, it's going to be a hard proposition. I believe. Now, you may haven't figured out to get him. You may have figured out to get him an office building that, but I don't know how them Secret Service, they never cover all the office buildings and anywhere he's going. Do you know whether to do that or not?
Well, Sadie, if they have any suspicion, they would, of course. That suspicion would change right away.
I know the quality's kind of bad, so I've got the transcript here. And I feel like some of it's kind of cut to right. Where I think they cut out some of the stuff that's probably not assassinated-related. So the transcript is, and I'm not sure who's talking to who, but I think you can kind of figure it out as the conversation goes. It says, I don't know if Kennedy's coming here, I think on the 18th or something like that, to make some kind of speech. And they're talking about Florida. Let me remind you.
Right.
I think it's the 18th. He's supposed to be here to make a speech. I don't even know what it's about. You can bet your bottom dollar he's going to have a lot to say about the Cubans because there's so many of them here. Now, all this is going to sound like that era of talk.
Right.
Bet your bottom dollar. The more bodyguards he has, the easier it is to get to him. Well, how the hell do you figure would be the best way to get to him? From an office building with a high-powered rifle. Do you think he knows he's a marked man? I'm sure he does. Are you really going to try and kill him? Oh yes, it's in the works. It's in the working. Hitting this Kennedy, I'll tell you, is going to be the hard proposition. I believe you may have figured it out how to get him from an office building and all that, but I don't know how them Secret Service, they'd never cover all them office buildings and anywhere he's going. Do you know whether they do that or not? If they have any suspicions, they will, of course, but without suspicion, the chances are they wouldn't. You wouldn't have to take the gun up there, take it up in pieces. All those guns come knocked down, and you can take them apart. Boy, if Kennedy's getting shot, we've got to know where we're at. Yes, it's coming. Because you know, boy, that's... this fucking... I can't stand how they talk.
Because you know, boy, that's going to be... you know, that would be real shade if they do that. Or real shake if they do that.
They wouldn't leave any stone unturned there. No way. Oh, hell no. Hell, they'll pick up somebody within a few hours. Or, they'll pick up somebody within hours after... if anything like that would happen just to throw the public off, well, somebody is going to have to go to jail if he gets killed. Killed?
So they're already talking. I mean, they're basically laying out what happened in Dallas.
Right. And this is Miami on November 9th. Right. Just 2 weeks shy
of... yeah,
something
like that, yeah.
So Adams, the former FBI agent who looked into this, also found a picture of Milter close to the motorcade that day.
Ooh.
He also claims that Oswald had nothing to do with it. This is Adams'
right.
point of view. He claims that one picture of the limo has a hole in the windshield, so he claims that the shot came from the front and hit Kennedy in the throat. This shot would have came from the grassy knoll. So, the hole... but then, if you say that, then how did the governor get shot?
That's a good point.
In the thigh and everything.
Right.
Donald is the one that claims that there was up to 11 shots fired. He also claims that there is a picture where a second weapon was recovered. He says it was a... how do you say that kind of gun? Mauser?
Mauser, yeah.
Some people claim that Oswald was in the lunchroom 4 floors down from and on the opposite side of the building drinking a Coke after the first shot. No one reported him being sweaty or breathing heavily like he had just ran down the stairs, which that's actually comes up a lot through right. all these. After Oswald was arrested, Milters was reported very jubilant. And I had to look up what the word jubilant means. It is
joyful, really.
It's feeling of expressing great happiness and triumph.
Right.
So he was bragging to Somerset, the guy that caught the recordings. He was bragging to him. Milter also said, "I guess you thought I was kidding when I said he would be killed from a window with a high-powered rifle. Milter also told people in the KKK that they shouldn't worry about Lee Harvey Oswald because he doesn't know anything. In 1976, the House of Representatives Select Committee on Assassinations was established. They determined a shot was fired from the grassy knoll. And here's a quote from their report. The committee believes, on the basis of the evidence available to it, that President JFK was probably assassinated as a result of a conspiracy. The committee is unable to ID the other gunmen or extent of the conspiracy." So right there, the government's saying, yeah, there it's a conspiracy.
Could go back to the misinformation thing. I like to do that a lot.
Yeah.
You know.
So, here's the next conspiracy theory. The Umbrella Man. So, that day, like I said earlier, it rained. But, by about 9 a.m. that morning, it was done raining. You can see some puddles in the streets and stuff in some of the footage. And you can see everyone in the crowd is excited, they're happy, they're not wearing raincoats, they're not holding umbrellas, because it's a clear day. And there's one man, one man, I don't know, I blanked out, in frame 230, right beside the sign that blocks the view in the bottom left corner of the Zapruder film.
Uh-huh.
You can see an open umbrella, for just a split second. He has been known as the Umbrella Man. You can see him from several different pictures with his umbrella open. This is how it was determined that it was a man. Several different point of views show that it's a man. Some people have a diagram of how the pistol is hidden in the umbrella, so they think this man had this umbrella gun. And it shot out. I don't know. You have to look up these diagrams. It's funny.
So the real life penguin.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah.
One reporter wanted the Umbrella Man to step forward, and someone did in 1978 in Washington with his umbrella. His name is Louis Stephen Witt. He He said that he brought the umbrella to simply heckle Kennedy, whose father, Joseph, which we've talked about before in our Prohibition episode, had been a supporter of the Nazi-appeasing British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain. Mm-hmm. By waving a black umbrella, Chamberlain's trademark fashion accessory, which said he was protesting the Kennedy family appeasing Adolf Hitler before World War II, an umbrella had been used in cartoons in the 1930s to symbolize such appeasement, and Chamberlain often carried an umbrella. So
that's kind of interesting. So yeah. He was basically doing all his own little silent protest.
Right. It
had nothing to do with killing Kennedy.
Right.
Being a dick.
But no one would have got it but him.
Right.
So
right. Everyone else is like, that nuts has an umbrella. See?
The CIA did it is the next conspiracy theory. And it's because he wanted to disband them.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And the
Kennedy?
Yeah, well, oh, wow. Supposedly, I don't know. Right. I mean, you know how these theories are.
True.
There's one theory that I didn't even write down, that he was wanting to expose aliens. That's why he was in it for this, you know, he was real heavy on the space race. So, I don't know. But anyways, so the three tramps were three hobo-looking men that were found in a car. Train car behind the grassy knoll. Some believe that these three men could have been CIA assassins pretending to be hobos. The tramps' identities were released in 1989. Gus Abram, Harold Doyle, and John Gedney? In September 1982, Charles Harrelson, the father of actor Woody Harrelson, While wanted for the murder of federal judge John H. Wood Jr., he confessed to killing Wood and the president, President Kennedy, during a 6-hour standoff with police in which he was reportedly high on cocaine. So he admitted to being one of the tramps.
Charles Harrelson did?
Yes, Woody Harrelson's father, Kingpin.
Oh my god.
Zombieland.
Yeah. His dad.
According to Jim Mars, which we've talked about Jim Mars in our Aurora episode way back when, In 1989's Crossfire, Harrelson is believed to be the youngest and tallest of the tramps by many assassination researchers. Mars stated that Harrelson was involved with criminals connected to intelligence agencies and the military, and suggested that he was connected to Jack Ruby through Russell Douglas Matthews, a third party with links to organized crime who was known to both Harrelson and Ruby.
That's wild. If it's true.
So, the Mafia.
Right.
JFK.
Luckily, these next dozen here are really short. They're one-liners.
Because there were so many of them, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to do broad strokes, and maybe in the future we can touch on these more in depth.
Right.
But the Mafia... Something about JFK's brother, Robert Kennedy, was working on taking apart the organized crime.
I've heard that one before. Right? That's why he was killed.
At the time, he was the U.S. Attorney General. So, right. You know, it could have been a mafia hit. The KGB. The Cuban Missile Crisis caused bad tensions between Soviets and the United States. Oswald was a communist, and he was known to have spent time in the USSR. His time there, he may have... connected with the KGB.
Right.
This one's pretty simple. Lyndon B. Johnson. He wanted to become president.
Yeah.
He's the one that called for the hit.
Right. Usually the simple ones.
Friendly fire. This one's pretty interesting.
Okay.
One theory thinks that one of his own bodyguards may have accidentally shot JFK. That when Oswald... So Oswald's still tied to this.
Right.
But when he fired his gun and missed, one of the Secret Service men named George Hickey went to shoot back, and the car stopped suddenly and made him fall forward, and he pulled the trigger.
Oh, God.
Again, simple, but why not?
Right.
So,
Jack Ruby
is another theory. Supposedly, he delivered a rifle to the grassy knoll. Supposedly, he knew Lee Harvey Oswald before the assassination.
Right.
supposedly he was actually a spectator at Daily Plaza during the assassination and not at the Dallas Morning News, or whatever the paper was called back then.
I think it was Dallas Morning News. Or...
You know, because he was supposedly putting in ads for his club.
Right.
Julianne Mercer was driving through Daily Plaza. Her car was held up in traffic on Elm Street, close to a parked pickup truck containing two men. She noticed one of the two men take a package the size and shape of a rifle case out of the back of a pickup and take it to the grassy knoll. She was shown photographs of the two men, but was unable to identify either of the men as Jack Ruby or Lee Harvey Oswald.
Oh.
Phil Willis photographs his slide number 14. I don't really know what that means, but I just felt like if someone wanted to look it up, Phil Willis, slide number 14, shows the crowd milling around the front of the Texas School Book Depository a few minutes after the shooting. The photograph includes middle-aged man with a receding hairline wearing a dark jacket and dark glasses. Jack Ruby was a middle-aged man with a receding hairline who was known to wear a dark jacket and dark glasses. The similarity between Ruby and the man in the photograph was spotted by several FBI agents and by Willis himself. Unfortunately, one of the many images taken by freelance photographer Jim Marr, again, includes a very clear view of the same man in front of the Texas School Book Depository
right.
at about the same time. It is obvious that the man in the photograph is not Jack Ruby.
Okay.
I mean, there's many more theories.
Tons more theories.
There's a theory that the First Lady actually had something to do with it. And that's... Let's talk about the Mandela real quick.
Is that post-Mandela or... Or pre-Mandela.
A long time ago, before the Mandela effect fucked with us.
Right.
I always remember hearing, when there was only four seats in the car instead of six, I remember people saying that they thought it was the driver who turns around, because he turns real funny. Even still in the video now, he still turns real funny. And he turned around and shot Kennedy was one of the theories. Now one of the crazier theories is that she did it, his wife.
Which I had never heard before until started looking into Mandela.
And, I mean, if you look at which way he... I don't know. There's a lot of really weird stuff
yep.
about it. So, post-Mandela, it was the driver. And now, since the Mandela, it's his wife.
Right.
What are some other conspiracy theories, real quick, that you can think of why he might... Who assassinated him and why? I mean, there's so many.
So many. I know, like I said earlier off the mics, I had heard a theory that Jack Ruby was actually Oswald's handler.
Right.
His like KGB handler.
Yeah, and there's a lot more ties. There's a lot of different like variations of Ruby being the handler, or I don't know. We're just going to have to dig more into this one day and just pick out one or two topics.
Right, pick out, like, just a theory or two and just kind of go with them, because there's so many theories to go with. I'm leaning more toward the CIA, because the CIA's got their hands in a lot of shit. There's actually a video of the president giving a speech, and he talks about that the American people need to watch out for the elite, the super elite, the ones we don't see in public.
Ooh, really? Yeah. JFK talking about this?
Yeah, and actually Anonymous posted it on one of their sites not too long ago.
Hmm.
And it's the president, it's JFK, and he's talking about watch out for the super elite. I mean, we gotta dial it back. You know, we gotta, you know, watch out for these people. You gotta listen to the speech exactly how he says it. I think that's the speech that got him killed. I think a lot of people didn't want him bringing this to the forefront.
Right.
But he was doing it anyway.
I'm pretty... That whole recording with that dude expressing like, oh yeah, high-powered rifle from the...
Right.
Just 2 weeks before, that's something really fishy.
That is fishy. That's... I mean... Yeah. You know.
And I didn't know about that before. I've always been a fan of... the listening to or finding out the theories on this assassination.
Uh-huh.
It in, intrigues me because there's so many of them. But that was one I had never found until I listened to the, or until I started doing the research on this, and I was just blown away. I was like, holy shit.
Like, that's 2 weeks before the assassination, here's this guy.
Yeah. And how is that not brought up more?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Maybe it's a new Mandela. Maybe that just happened.
Mandela keeps jacking with me, man. With all of our theories, I'm sure
all our listeners are probably like, "Shut the fuck up about the Mandela." It's never ending.
It's never gonna end. No, Mandela has taken control of our lives.
So which do you sway towards, Tyler? There's so many. I know.
I don't know. I like the one where. I forget who it was, but you said they had it all planned out in Florida or whatever.
Yeah.
Just you know, the government hates to admit they're wrong. You know, they had their guy. Well, their so-called guy.
Yeah.
But he could have easily been working.
Well, that, and they were even warned that Oswald was going to be assassinated the next day, and they're like, no, he's not. And there's even, I read something, and I didn't write it down, but... As they were putting the bulletproof vest on Oswald or whatever they put on him. Or the handcuffs. It was the handcuffs. No. I don't remember. I think it was the handcuffs. The police officer was like, I hope whoever... Or, if someone tries to shoot you, I hope they have as good as aim as you because I don't want them to hit me. Or something like that. And Oswald made a joke like, no one's going to shoot me. And then... 5 fucking minutes later,
someone shoots him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a weird coincidence that Kennedy, Oswald, and Ruby all died in the same hospital or were pronounced dead in the same hospital. Right. Is that kind of a weird coincidence?
That's bizarre. Yeah. Well, and you know how I am. I don't believe in coincidences.
Right.
You know, if things are starting to line up, then there's got to be a reason for it.
What about all the things that line up with JFK and Lincoln?
Yeah. The theater and
here, I was gonna mention that whenever you started talking about how they caught him in the theater.
Right.
I was like, wait a minute.
I've kind of heard about this one, the similarities between the two.
Hold on, let me see if I can find it.
Maybe he just goes to the theater because it's, like, poetic or something.
I think he was ducking out to get away because he just shot a cop.
Oh, that's true.
But if he really... Did, you know what? That's some...
What better place to blend in than in a movie theater? Well, he made one mistake, though. He pissed off the guy at the front, you know.
Yeah, okay, but see, I don't know. There's a lot of weird that happened and all that.
It's like, you don't piss off someone making minimum wage.
Okay, so you want to hear all these crazy coincidences?
Sure.
So, Lincoln's name has 7 letters. Kennedy's name has 7 letters. In Lincoln and Kennedy's names, the vowels and consonants fall in exactly the same place, in the same order. And it's consonant, vowel, consonant, consonant, vowel, consonant, consonant. Lincoln was elected to Congress in 1846. Kennedy was elected to Congress in 1946. Lincoln was elected president in 1860. Kennedy was elected president in 1960. Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln. War was thus upon Lincoln almost immediately after inauguration. War was thrust upon Kennedy almost immediately after inauguration. Lincoln ordered the Treasury to print its own money. Kennedy ordered the Treasury to print its own money. International banks may have arranged the assassinations of both Lincoln and Kennedy. Ooh, I didn't get to that conspiracy theory. Lincoln gave black Americans freedom and legalized equality. Kennedy enforced equality for black Americans. Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address on November 19th, 1863. Kennedy was assassinated on November 22nd, 1963. Lincoln was loved by the common people and hated the establishment. Kennedy was loved by the common people and hated the establishment. Lincoln was succeeded after assassination by Vice President Johnson. Kennedy was succeeded after assassination by Vice President Johnson.
Wow.
Andrew Johnson was born in 1808. Lyndon Johnson was born in 1908.
What the fuck?
Andrew Johnson's name has 13 letters. Lyndon Johnson's name has 13 letters. Andrew Johnson had a pug nose and slick back hair. Lyndon B. Johnson had a pug nose and slick back hair. Lincoln was sitting beside his wife when he was shot. Kennedy was sitting beside his wife when he was shot.
Are you kidding me right now?
Rathbone, who was with Lincoln when he was shot, was injured by being stabbed. Connolly, the governor, who was with Kennedy, was shot and injured by being, you know.
Yeah.
He was shot, too.
Magic bullets.
Rathbone and Connolly have 8 letters.
Oh, cripes almighty, come on.
Lincoln's wife held his head in her lap after he was shot. Kennedy's wife held his head in her lap after he shot, and his brains.
His brains, yeah.
I didn't want to make the joke, but it's true. Lincoln was shot on a Friday. Kennedy was shot on a Friday. Lincoln was shot in a theater named Ford. Kennedy was shot in a car named Ford.
Oh, my God.
Kennedy.
Oh, my God.
Kennedy was shot in a car also named Lincoln. So, Lincoln's bodyguard was away from his post at the door of the president's box at the theater. Kennedy's guards were away from their post on the running boards of the president's car. Lincoln was shot in a theater, and his assassin ran to a warehouse. JFK was shot from a warehouse, and his assassin ran to a theater.
Oh, Jiminy Christmas.
Lincoln's assassin had...
This is ridiculous. This is nuts. Are you kidding?
Lincoln's assassin had a three-word name, John Wilkes Booth. Kennedy's assassin had a three-word name, Lee Harvey Oswald.
Both have 15 letters, let me guess, right?
Yes. They both have 15 letters. Oh.
All right, that's it. I'm done.
Booth was born 1939, and Oswald was born... 1839. And Oswald was born in 1939. Lincoln, and if I get some of these wrong, it's not my fault. I'm just reading them from this website, so F off. Whiteoutpress.com. That's who you need to go complain to. Lincoln didn't die immediately after being shot. Kennedy didn't die immediately after being shot. Lincoln and Kennedy died in places beginning with the initials P and H. Lincoln died in Peterson's house.
Presbyterian, wasn't it?
Peterson's?
No, but Presbyterian for... Oh, Parkland.
Parkland. Kennedy died in Parkland.
Ah.
Booth was shot and killed in police custody before going to trial. Oswald was shot and killed in police custody before going to trial. Kennedy's funeral was modeled on Lincoln's funeral. Andrew Johnson was a heavy drinker with crude behavior. Lyndon Johnson was a heavy drinker with crude behavior. There's a lot of these. I didn't realize there's more than I've ever heard. There was a conspiracy theories that Johnson was knowledgeable about Lincoln's assassination. There was conspiracy theories that Johnson was knowledgeable of Kennedy's assassination. Days before it happened, Lincoln told his wife and friends about a dream he'd had of being shot by an assassin. Hours before it happened, Kennedy told his wife and friends it would be easy for assassination to shoot him from a crowd. I don't know if that one's true.
I'd actually heard the one about the dream before with Lincoln.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after,
I thought it was his wife, though, that had the dream, and she was trying to talk him out of going.
I don't know. Maybe we need to do that episode, too.
What, a Lincoln assassination?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, we could.
Shortly after Lincoln was shot, the telegraph system went down. Shortly after Kennedy was shot, the telephone system went down. Dude, there's... Jesus
tons,
Christ, holy...
Tons.
I'm not reading all these.
No, there's so many.
Yeah, this could be a 2-hour podcast if I keep reading these. Just go look it up, because it's nuts. It is... way, way nuts. And that's probably the best ones anyways. I'm sure there's some other weird ones, but... anyways.
So he was shot in 1960?
Yes, in the 60s.
Okay.
So
we have to wait till 2060 to see if there's a third assassination that matches up with the previous two.
Oh, yeah. Hold on, how old am I?
We'll be very old men by then.
I'm going to make it.
I'm going to hold on just to see.
I'm not done yet.
I'll push it. I'll wait till 2060, goddammit.
It's going to be 2059.
Yeah.
You're like, just put me on life support for another year.
That'll give me reason to live, is to see if in 2060, November of 2060, to see if another president gets shot.
That's nuts.
Wouldn't that be wild?
I bet. Wait,
weren't these presidents born on the same year?
Oh,
born
so...
Well, I mean, what? The same...
Born so, on the same year.
So we can kind of, like, figure out who...
Yeah.
We're going to take all the birthdays and just, like, narrow down, like, rich family, rich successful families. We can find out who the next president is
before he becomes president.
If the Illuminati or any of the elites are listening, make this happen in 2060.
Just because you want to see it?
Yeah.
That's awful. You want to see the coincidence keep growing?
I want them to have the same amount of letters in the names with the same consonants being in the same spots and the same vowels in the same spot. I want you to make it happen if you're listening.
Oh jeez. Well, luckily in 2017, the government records about 100 and 1,000. Wait, 1,000.
1,100.
Jesus Christ. About 1,100 government records relating to the assassination are scheduled to be declassified.
They won't be declassified.
Next year, because as of this recording, it is 2016, and we will know.
It's not going to happen.
Next year.
It won't.
We will know. Ooh, that'll make a good... As soon as they declassify these, then we do another episode.
Yeah.
And
but they won't declassify them, so don't
worry
about it.
Don't ruin this.
I'm not ruining it. I'm telling you, anytime something big like this
comes down...
Why don't
you, you were just pleading to your Illuminati to keep the conspiracy going, plead to them to release everything.
No, I don't want them to. I want it to be incognito. I want it to be speculation.
There aren't any more conspiracies than what we can do with our free time.
Exactly. I mean, me and Big Fluoride, we got plans. we gotta create more.
Are they still lining your pockets pretty good?
Oh, man, you have no idea. You see how white my teeth are?
You get free teeth whitenings
That's
now?
That's right. Cancer-free. Fluoride's just flowing through my system.
Oh, man. Well, do we got any last words on Mr. Kennedy?
Not really. I think I'm going to go with the CIA and the elites wanted him out.
I think that Miltry dude had something pretty sinister to do with this.
That's a good possibility.
Tyler, just say aliens did it. That way we have the alien theory in there.
Magneto tried to save him.
Oh, I forgot about Magneto. Saying. It wasn't that great how they tied that into history.
I loved it.
God.
His magic bullet.
Oh, yeah. That was the best. I forgot all about that.
Thank you, Tyler.
The mutant hate crimes.
That's right.
They're pretty big.
I think that's going to do it for us going into this JFK. Hopefully when we bring him up again, we will just narrow it down to two or three topics. And since we've already got the history out of the way, next time we won't have to do all that. So
focus on some of the meatier chunks.
Yeah, and really get into some of that stuff that I was just kind of brushstroking real quick.
Right.
But...
because there's so much more.
Oh, so much more.
I mean, people got theories for theories, don't they?
Theories on theories, and it's ridiculous. It's the inception of conspiracy theories.
Here, I'll just do this. Just let JFK rest. Come on, guys. Give the man a break already.
But we want justice.
We had justice.
But did we really?
Probably not.
Let's end this. Yeah. Alright, adios.
Bye.
Bye.
And that is our conversation on JFK. Just the first part of it, because obviously there's too many theories to try to cram into one episode without it being a 10-hour episode. So, with that being said, please subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a review. You can also find our show available on Google Play, Stitcher, Satchel, and YouTube. You just gotta search for Secret Transmission Podcast. You can also find our show on the Podcast Radio Network on Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern. That's right after the Tattooed Bananas. So just go to podcastradionetwork.net and you can listen to us every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. You can leave us a voicemail on maybe a topic that you'd like us to cover, or you can just call and say hi, tell us that you love us, tell us that you hate us, promote your podcast, your YouTube channel, your comic book, your Kickstarter, whatever you want. Just give us a call leave us a voicemail. No one's going to answer, I promise. The number is 304-602-7444. You can find us on Twitter at Secret Transpod, and you can email us at secrettransmission@hotmail.com. Next week, we are going to have our fourth edition of After Dark, and the week after that, you're going to be able to listen to us talk about the Elisa Lam mystery. That's the woman in the elevator that was acting crazy, and they found her in the water tank. Spoiler. I guess I should have said spoiler first. But until then, we hope you come back and listen to us try to explain the unexplainable.
Ready to say goodbye, Roger.